like to dip my dipper into somebody else's dipper. To dip my dipper into somebody else's dipper. You see, the dipping is just a little bit neater, and the sugar's a little bit sweeter when I'm dipping my dipper into somebody else.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. You know, when I signed up to do this show, they said the only way I'd do this show, Dan Long, if I could play Cicero Blake's Dip My Dipper. So we can we can take that off the checklist. Cicero Blake, a great Chicago soul legend. He is in the studio with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. We also have Yvette Warren. She's the chair of the Artie Blues Boy White Youth Scholarship Foundation. And we've got my old friend, Bill Dahl, blues historian. And we have this little panel to talk about Cicero and the music and the tribute. So why don't we start with you, Yvette. Talk about this tribute to Cicero that's going on March 8th at the Touch of the Past, Mannheim Road in Bellwood. So yeah, what's going to go on?
We are excited. We are going to be honoring the phenomenal Mr. Cicero Blake.
You're selling it. That's good.
Yes, this is going to be a great show. Lots of Mr. Blake's wonderful friends and the Artie Blues Boy White Scholarship Foundation is so honored to be part of this great celebration of our legend, Mr. Cicero Blake.
And so you're going to have, if there's any changes, Nellie Travis is headlining, Theo Huff.
Yes.
The music by the Dangerous Mike LLC Band. And DJ duties fall on Chicago's legendary spin master, DJ Sam Chapman.
Right.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Cicero, how you been?
Well,
you've had some challenges.
We're good.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, let me first say I'm thankful for you letting me be here with you.
We go way back.
We go way.
You brought a Sun Times article from 1988.
In 1988.
Yeah.
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 But it's good to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I'm here.
And, well, tell us about, when I get into current day stuff, but tell us about the track, the 12 Bar Blues there, what we heard, Dip My Dipper.
Well, actually, that was a record that wasn't supposed to be recorded. And it was in the studio, and my producer at the time, he came up with the idea. He asked me, had I ever recorded any blues? Well, at that time, I said, no. He said, well, do you think you could sing some blues? I said, yeah, put them up here. And we recorded it. And it turned out to be to make Cicero Blake, Cicero Blake.
You've recorded it a few times. I mean, didn't you just come up with some reissues? And
no,
some? When was the first time it was recorded? Do you know, Bill?
That one in the mid-1970s, I believe,
mid-1970?
Right? Mid-1970? Yeah, that was yeah.
Well, anyway.
This was in 75. We cut Dip My Dipper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it my notes in one of the interviews we did? Was it Bob Riley? It was a Nashville guy who wrote that, right? Bob Riley. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you always told me, and Otis Clay always told me this too. I mean, you both of you guys love country music. You always told me you'd sing Ronnie Millsap songs and stuff.
Yeah.
Talk about growing up and listening to country music as an influence.
Well, actually, you know, being out of Jackson, Mississippi, there was not a lot of stations to listen to where I could hear blues. So I kind of went to the country and western thing, you know. And I just started liking country and western. So in the beginning, that's all I used to do was country and western songs, you know.
Then how did it mesh into the soul
well,
and the blues?
Well, what I decided to do, I said, well, I'm going to learn me one song other than country. And it was a song called I Need You So by an artist by the name of Ivy Joe Hunter.
Uh-huh.
And I rehearsed that song, I don't know how many times, man, until I got it down. And that was the first one I did.
For Bill, and let's talk about Artie Blues Boy White. Tell the listeners who Artie Blues Boy White was and kind of that genre. I would always talk to Bob Jones about Artie Blues Boy White. I don't know if you considered yourself part of that genre, but talk about how that was maybe a little different than straight soul. But tell the listeners who Artie was.
Artie was a phenomenal storyteller. Artie was that blues legend that the way he talked was how he sang.
Yeah.
He was just earthy and real, and he had a huge heart, and that came out in his delivery, that came out in his interactions, and he lived his life the way he sang his blues.
Yeah.
And what does the foundation do? What does the Youth Scholarship Foundation
do? Youth Scholarship Foundation supports youth under the age of 21 or up to the age of 21 that want to pursue a career in this industry, especially in the blues genre. Our purpose is to keep the legacy, the legend, the just heart of the blues going, giving it to this new generation, having legacies like Mr. Cicero Blake, who reminded us a little bit ago that he's one of the last men standing of that genre. And he was a dear friend of Artie, and Artie loved youth. He loved kids. He loved seeing them succeed. He supported them in their endeavors. And that's the purpose of this foundation. So the youth may not be able, perhaps they have issues purchasing instruments. Perhaps they need to be connected to great mentors like Mr. Blake. Perhaps they need to just get that leg up to get showcased. So we host benefits. We do fundraising. The March 8th event will be one of the first fundraisers for this year. We have another coming up in April in Artie's hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Yep.
And we are just excited to continue his legacy and to support youth that want to do well in this industry.
For Bill and for Cicero, and we've all talked about this together and separately, how would you describe the type of music that you do and that Artie did? And is it deep soul? Is it Chitlin circuit? What pocket do you? But it's different. It's different. It's colorful and it's engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But how?
Kind of like the midpoint between soul and blues. Tyrone Davis was another, groundbreaker in that genre. It's in between, And we were just talking there in the green room about how back in the early '80s. Blues clubs on the north side of town weren't necessarily wide open to that kind of music.
Right.
And it was Cicero and Otis Clay that really introduced that to the whole north side of Chicago. Up to that point, people on the west and south side sure knew what it was about. But up here on the north side, we're on the north side of the river anyway, people didn't dig it so much. They didn't know what it was, And
yeah.
Big Twist was another one that was kind of doing that kind of music. And all of a sudden, people said, well, this stuff's pretty hip. And, you didn't need to have a guitar in your hand. You could just sing really good.
Well, and they had big entourages. Otis would always talk about his horn section. You had the Machine Company. And,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it like for you to find work back then?
Much easier.
Yeah.
Than now.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Because at the time, it was a lot of work. In other words, you could work 7 nights a week and then have to work the same club. You see, work was everywhere, you see. But like now, once the disco era came in, that kind of wiped us out a little bit. Of course, the club owners changed the stages and all that with all the lights and stuff,
And then you kind of had to come to the north side to look for more gigs.
But like I said earlier, I was told when I first went up there, that I wouldn't be able to work the clubs on the north side because I wasn't bluesy enough.
Right.
But we changed that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm such a fan of that type of music you guys do. Do you trace your career, early 50s, and again, in my research, you sang with the Golden Tones and who became the Cool Gents?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about, boy, that's That's quite a legacy.
Yeah.
Tell us who the Cool Gents were, in your own words.
Well, the Cool Gents was originated. Well, I started the group. Let's say that. I started the group at Marshall High School. Okay. And at that time, we had people like it was a John McCall in that group, or Howard McLean, James Hopper, and John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Cool Gents. And then later, I left and went into the Air Force. And then D. Clark. Joined the group.
Everybody knows D. Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, he joined the group.
And shot on up there.
Yeah.
You know? So when I came back out of the Air Force, then I discovered that I wanted to be a solo singer because I didn't fit in with the group thing anymore. You know, when I started to do solo.
Do you still live in the Maywood area?
I'm in Bolingbrook.
You're in Bolingbrook now. Okay, yeah. I know you lived in Maywood for a long time.
Yeah, I moved in Bolingbrook about, 3 or 4 years ago.
My question is, why have you stuck it out in Chicago this whole time and didn't relocate? Why have you been so loyal to the city?
I don't know. You know, when I first came out of Mississippi here, there was a place I ended up on the west side of Chicago, so therefore I never moved any further than California Street to Maywood.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess it was just the love I had for the city of Chicago, man. You know,
that's
where it all started for me.
You were so tight with Otis. You guys were. Guys are so connected.
Yeah.
He brought you to. Last time he performed was that book release party I did at Fitzgerald's.
Right.
You were there with Otis,
right.
And you sang,
right.
And stuff. And
right.
You were really. Did you talk about the scene with him? Did you talk? I mean, because like Bill said, you were kind of traveling the same path about trying to find gigs on the north side and stuff. Did you support each other in that pursuit?
We got along great because for one thing, Oates would he would always look out for you.
Sure, yeah, he
you
would.
Know? Yeah. And he would call me up. Matter of fact, he first told me about you being doing this. You know?
Yeah, he was on. Yeah, he was on the show.
He told me.
Yeah.
You know, and but he did that, so it would give me a shot at some point to do it.
Yeah,
But he was that way.
He's a great, great guy.
Yeah,
we're gonna take a break for some spots, and we're gonna come back, and we're gonna talk more about the birthday. When's your birthday?
February 20th.
Okay, birthday tribute fundraiser for blues legend Chicago Blake, Cicero Blake. So don't go away after this on WGN. Mercy, welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. I can listen to stuff all night. That's a Nocturnal Journal theme song, Sad Feeling. 1964, Cicero Blake?
1964.
With the Dells in the background?
Dells in the background. And that song was written by Barry Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's great stuff. Garland Floyd, you're on the phone? Chicago promoter Garland Floyd?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm fair to Midland, just tolerable. How you doing, Mr. Cicero?
I'm doing.
So, Garland, I mean, you've been around Chicago for a long time. Talk about Cicero's imprint on the music scene. I mean, he's a local treasure, and that's why they are doing the birthday party and fundraiser on March 8th, 7 p.m. till midnight at Touch of the Past in Bellwood, Illinois. But, Garland Floyd, talk about Cicero Blake.
Well, Cicero Blake, as everybody knows, in Chicago, is an icon in our community. He has appeared in venues all over the South Side. When we gave the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame Awards this past October and honored these clubs, Cicero has played in all of these clubs. And for the young musicians coming up, and they stand in awe of this man and his longevity in this business. And as you know, Dave, it's that is just a phenomenal thing when you can last as long as Cicero has lasted.
For sure. You know, and Cicero, you and Otis, I mean, always part of the community. I don't know if you remember this, and I know maybe Bill Dahl will remember this. You sang, remember you sang, I think you sang Albert King's As the Years Go Passing By at Willie Dixon's procession. I think, right. I remember I covered that. It was right at the checkerboard.
Right at the checkerboard.
Talk about that. I mean, people talked about that. How'd you pick that song? Was that spur of the moment?
Well, it was, to be honest, I don't know. I just figured it was a good song to sing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a song that I liked, you know, and I felt I could do a good job with it. So we did it.
But Garland and Bill and you guys, I mean, these guys, they were all at the front line. You know what I mean? They were part of the community. Can you talk
about
all you guys, can you talk about that? But
definitely. It was a whole different scene back in those days. You know, these gentlemen were, you know, absolute originators, innovators, and the community knew it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yvette, same thing?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Dave, you and Bill Dahl have been the true chroniclers of this music and these guys and women who entertained our community. I remember several articles that Bill has written and you, Dave, when you were at the Sun Times, and I think you found you told me the other day that you found an article that you had written about Cicero in the 80s.
Yeah, he brought it. He brought one in 19. Cicero Blake takes soul to country.
He brought it with him. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys played a heck of a role in the getting out the word about these artists, and that includes Artie and Cicero and Otis and even I saw a picture the other day that Clarence Ludd put up, and it had Wilbert Hi-Fi White in it.
Yeah, sure.
And I think
and before we got you on the phone, Bill and I were touching on this. I think this is one thing that always interested me, you know, as a journalist and as I do this show, is to shed light onto unknown stories. And these guys like Artie and Cicero and Otis. It was a challenge for to get in some of the blues clubs, and I mean I love that soul country music and stuff, but it was important to share these stories for people who didn't know about what they were doing.
Sure was.
Yeah, right? And I'm just so thankful that guys like you and Bill decided to do that and take that road, and you know, it's because of you that the rest of Chicago knows about people like Cicero and Artie and Otis Clay. And I mean, I could just go on and on naming them. Willie Clayton used to be in that little group. And, you know, the thing about Cicero and them is that they supported each other.
Right.
So when you went to see... Say if you went to the East of the Rhine to see Otis Clay, Cicero Blake is probably in the audience.
Yeah, right.
And they're probably going to call Cicero. So you're going to get a chance to see Cicero Blake. You're going to get the chance to see Little Milton. You're going to get a chance to see Artie. Yeah. They supported each other. They were always at each other's shows.
Okay, we got a minute left, so I want Yvette Warren from the Artie Blues Boy White Youth Scholarship Foundation to go over the details again on March 8th and how people can find out and get tickets.
Absolutely. On March the 8th, we will be at the Touch of the Pass, 947 Mannheim Road in Bellwood. Advance tickets are $15. At the door, it's $20. And the Artie Blues Boy White Youth Scholarship Foundation is so excited that we're going to celebrate and uplift Mr. Blake and all that he's done to continue the legacy and the history of the blues and introducing that to future generations of blues entertainers and blues lovers.
You feeling okay, Cicero? You're doing all right?
Oh, yeah.
You've had some health challenges, but you're okay. You're here.
I'm good.
You're here.
I'm good.
This is an uplifting experience.
Yeah.
You're in a nocturnal journal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks, Garland, for calling in. And
right.
thank you, Yvette Warren. Thank you, Bill Dahl. I love you. And thank you, Cicero Blake, for coming down.
Thanks for having me.